Accession number 30416, it's John Taylor, Real 2. Now, where exactly did you go to? Is that the aircrew reception centre?
Yes, at St John's Wood in London. We're told to report to Lord's Cricket Ground. I'd met a bloke on the train, also with a suitcase and looking a bit lost. And we got talking and found he was also on his way to St John's Wood. And so we powered up. Vic Price. Vic Price. His father was a farmer in East Dereham. And we reported to Lords.
Now, what was your reception like when you got there? You know what I mean? Because you're arriving as a civilian.
Yes. Well, first of all, these NCOs, they weren't bad. Get over there, get in line, pick up your suitcase, go there, and they took us underneath the stands at Lord's, and to my horror, were told to strip off. Now, as a nice young man who'd never been even in a rugby communal bath, so we had to strip off and stood there, and then the MO and his assistant came down. We had to bend over and the flashlight, and that was my first FFI, free from infection. But I was very surprised. After that, we were marched away. And the next few days were an eye-opener.
Now, what about kitting out? Did they kit you out straight away, or did it take some time?
We started the next day. But the first night, I found all these visions of tents and things. We were in apartments, an apartment block in St John's Wood. We had three of us to a room with our suite bathroom and sheets on the bed and everything. But we were corporal in charge. It showed us we had to fold the beds up. They sort of slid under each other, the mattress, the wire mattress. And then you had three biscuits, which were like a mattress cut into three bit squares. And you had to do those in a certain way at the top of the bed with your three blankets and the two sheets. And they all had to be folded in a certain way. So you got 2 inch of blanket, 1 inch of sheet, 2 inch of blanket, 1 inch of sheet, 2 inch of blanket. And that was four. And then your... Well, later, when the dishes were with knife, fork, spoon and everything, that was all had to be laid out on top. And the next day, of course, they took us round, kitting us out.
Now, how did they kit you out, and what do you remember getting?
I think we were going down a long line, and they were looking at us, saying, size so-and-so, boom, boom. Housewife, which was a canvas bag with sewing material in, and space for your knife, fork and spoon. They gave me a knife, fork, spoon. Big pint enamel mug. And two shirts. Four collars. Vest, underpants, I think two pairs of each, socks, and boots. I can't remember much detail, but when we got back to our billets, the corporal there said we'd got to get all the bumps off our boots. They were new leather with little knobbles. And we had to get a spoon and melt, heat it over a candle get boot polish and rub at these boots until they were shiny. I thought, what a waste of time. But we had to do it. And I soon got used to the fact. I realised afterwards what they were doing, breaking down our civilian identities and then rebuilding us as service personnel. But at the time I just thought, a lot of rushing around for nothing. The corporals were, they were good hearted, but they ran us around. You play ball with me and I'll play ball with you. And drill right from the first morning.
Well, at Lord's, you had drill at Lord's?
No, we had it in the car park behind the apartment block at St John's Wood. But there's another story there about Lord's, because during that 3 weeks we were there, the Duke of Kent was coming down to inspect a mass BE display. And it was February, freezingly cold. And of course, we had to keep moving to keep warm. And he was about an hour late. And when he didn't come, then we had to do our display. And the next day, I couldn't move. All the muscles I hadn't used were aching. But anyway,
how did the display go?
Oh, quite well, you know. He just looked there and then...
Did he say anything?
No, he didn't say anything. Or at least I was too far away to hear if he did.
Did you know who he was? I mean, you know...
They said it was the Duke of Kent. He was the one, I think, that got and went missing in his plane later. Yes. Married Princess Marina.
But he didn't make an impression on you?
No, no.
The cold made an impression.
The cold made. And the
now tell me about drill. How did you take to drill? I mean, because you started on basic foot drill, as they call it there.
I enjoyed it. It's funny. We soon learnt that time of parade, if you were 3 minutes early, you were late. Because it was 5 minutes before stated time. And then we were taught to fall in three thick. And... tallest on the right, shortest on the left, and all that sort of thing. And we went through the basic. We learned in the RAF you don't turn like the army, you swivel turns and things.
I mean, some people have trouble there, what they call penguins now, you know.
Yes.
But other problems, left and right. You had none of that?
No, quite enjoyed it. I quite enjoyed being part of a whole body moving as one. And
did you understand the point of it then?
No.
But no, you didn't react against it?
No, I'm probably... Well, I thought, I volunteered for this, I've got to make the best of it. It was the PE I objected to more than the... Because we did an hour's drill and an hour's PE every morning.
Now, what sort of PE were you doing?
It was a sort of feet astride, arms clap, arms up, arms back, that kind of...
Sort of Swedish exercise.
Yes, yes.
And how were you at that? Because I wondered how fit you were for being as you hadn't played a lot of sport. On the other hand, you're young, natural fitness. Were you fit or not?
I wasn't really fit, but... By the time I'd finished ITW, I was fitter than I've ever been before or since.
Still a bit unfit, probably, yes. When you were at yes. Lord's. Anything else happened at Lord's? Was there any bombing going on? Because it's February 42, aren't there?
Didn't hear any, no. I can remember being marched to the zoo on payday, and that's where they had the liners up, because I remember giraffe's head sticking up over the buildings in front of us. I think a lot of the animals had probably been taken to Whipsnade, but some were still there.
So why take you there? Why not do it in Lord's or
Well, remember, we weren't at Lord's. We were in
nearby.
St John's Wood in these apartment blocks.
So I suppose it was equally near to go to...
Yes, for everybody from all the apartment blocks to go to Lord's, which was the zoo. Another thing I remember was our first meal. Dark, snow on the ground, that February, and we fell in threes, and we had a chappie with a red, the rear file carried a red lantern, and the chappie at the front carried a white lantern, and we were marched round to another hotel where they converted the basement into a dining hall, and there was you got your mug and your hands, as we called them, knife, fork, spoon, and you went down the line and they slopped these things onto your plate. I hadn't drunk tea until then. I'd only drunk either milk or water, and I hadn't eaten vegetables. But by golly, I soon learned it was either that or go without, and filled the mug with tea. And when we'd finished the meal, oh, and an orderly officer used to come in and say, any complaints? And I found out that one lad who complained, next thing he was peeling potatoes.
So you weren't used to eating vegetables. I mean, that's the joke about the northern diet. But was it just stews and potatoes you ate? I mean, I'm not counting potatoes as vegetables, though, but I mean...
No, it was cooked.
What were you used to?
I was very fond of reading. And I found out that if I said I didn't like vegetables, my mother would make me a pile of bread and dripping or a pile of something, and I could sit in my chair and carry on reading.
What was the food like? How did you take to the food in the end?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Plenty of it. I think we're eating probably better than the civilians. It just depended on the cooks.
Now, were they doing any more tests while you were there? Or, you know, on you? Mental, physical, eyesight?
Well, we learnt Aldis and Morse.
Who taught you that and how did you learn it?
Again, we went round to... I can't remember. It must have been... It was either at the zoo or... place where they'd got all the mosquitoes, and we had to pass out 12 words a minute before we could go on to ITW.
Now, how did they actually train you? I mean, because I presume you wouldn't know Morse code.
No, they gave us sheets with the dot that, but it was easier than learning Aldis, because in a way you got the rhythm, and
with the key, the Morse key,
with the Morse key, you heard it coming over, and you got the rhythm of it. And soon, if you let yourself relax, it came naturally.
But you had more trouble with that. I mean, the Aldis was flashing Morse, wasn't it? I mean,
I had always had trouble with reading the Aldis. Because while you're trying to think what it was, the loss of the rest of the message. But
so you managed to get up to the required.
Yes. Speed. Yes.
Any other training or tests you had while you were there?
I can't remember any. Because it did strike me as funny, though. The first week I was there, you know, on parade, and the sergeant came down, the usual. I think they must have all read from the same script. I'm standing on your hair. Get your hair cut. And we had to go round to the station barber, who was another AC2, and pay him sixpence to cut your hair. And 2 days later, I was on parade, and the sergeant, get your hair cut. But sergeant, get your hair cut. So I had to go and have it cut all over it twice.
How short was it?
An inch all over your head. No hair was supposed to be longer than 1 inch.
And a sort of general short back and sides.
Yeah, short back and sides, and on the top it was. And I'd got luxurious hair in those days. You wouldn't think so now, but but another thing that surprised me is that sometimes we'd put on a coach and go to Rudolf Steiner Hall and watch films. I think it's all the different intakes they were having to occupy them. And so in between a few films about VD and things like that, we got MOD documentaries and also short films. I remember the an orchestra playing Rustle of Spring. And I thought, here I am, joining the Air Force, and I'm sitting in a cinema watching a film. And of course, when we're off duty, 6 o'clock, I think we'd finish for the day. We're in London, got on the tube, went into London. And my pal, Vic, knew London. I'd never been. So I think one day we went to watch Max Miller at one of the theatres in the suburbs. I forget which suburb it was. Another time we went to Covent Garden. They'd put floorboards down right in the centre. And it was a dance hall. I went dancing there. And another lunch... must have been a Saturday lunchtime or a Sunday lunchtime. They went to see Myra Hess. Used to give lunchtime concerts free to servicemen. This is all in these three weeks. But at the end of that 3 weeks...
Now, that's still February from the looks of it. By
yes.
Because you then, in February 42, go to number 3 in Initial Training Wing, which is at Torquay.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And you're there for till April 42.
Yes.
Now, who was going there? Was everybody going there? Did Vic Price go with you?
Yes. And
what happened when you got to the Initial Training Wing?
We were billeted at the Regina Hotel, which overlooked the inner harbour in Torquay, again, in hotel rooms, but no carpets or anything. Everything we'd taken out except our beds. And of course, we'd been taught everything had to be hung up. We had gas capes, and they got a square recess on the back that held your pack. And that had to be pulled out perfectly regular. Your gas cape had to be the same size all the way down, and then your webbing and everything had to be hung. And at St. John's Wood, that taught us all about blancoing, we had to blanco our white belts, and we had flashes in our caps.
Now, what is blanco? Because people don't know now what blanco is.
It's a kind of whiting stuff. You mix it with water into a paste and then rub it on. And woe betide if you got it on your uniform, you got into trouble. And of course you had button sticks, so you had to, that's a metal thing that you slide the button on, so when you polish your buttons, it doesn't come on your uniform. And so we've taught all.
What about polishing the boots? How shiny did they expect you to get them by now? You got the dimples off.
Yes.
Or the pimples, not dimples. How did you actually... How clean did they want them?
They wanted it so I can see my face in it. Felt like saying who would want to, but we didn't. But it was funny. Everywhere we went, at the end of that, there was a whip round for the corporal sergeant in charge. And I suppose they were only doing their business, which is to get us jumping without reasoning.
And what was the inspection like when you had a sort of kit inspection in your room in the hotel? I mean, what would they do if there was something wrong?
Throw it all on the floor. Say, get it set up again. Rubbish. don't remember any drastic punishments or anything. It was just shouting at us. And
what did you think of your instructor? I mean, you seem to have understood it was partly a game. Did you understand that at the time?
Well, I think so. You see, being air crew, we're all a certain standard of education. Although I was very shocked at the number of people that use effing in every sentence.
Instructors or air crew or both?
Just the other training navigators. I mean, we're all AC2s, you see, lowest form of animal life. But
Didn't the instructors do much shouting and bawling and swearing? I'll come back to the recruit.
No, they didn't swear so much. They shouted, and there was a lot of this. I've never seen such a lousy lot of so-and-sos, and, you know, you may have broken your mother's heart, but you're not going to break mine. I remember once we were on parade, and I hadn't filled my water bottle because it was lighter to carry when we were full webbing, and the warrant officer shook it. Said, "You haven't got any water in your..." But Warren, I thought, you're not supposed to think. You're potential officers. And I thought, aye.
Did they know their stuff? I mean, were they good at what they were training in the instructors?
Yes.
And did it edge into bullying, or were they fair? It's more the fairness that's important, I think. But I mean, what did you feel about it?
I never saw anybody being bullied. I never saw anybody being bullied. And
so they wouldn't pick people out and treat them unfairly and, well, bully them.
Well, I didn't see any, no.
Not in your... About how did you get on with the recruits? Tell me, you said they swore a bit more than you.
Yes.
A bit more than you were used to.
Yes.
Or a lot more.
Perhaps. Only some of them. No, I mean...
You didn't swear at the time?
I never have sworn. Not now, even.
Well, how did you get on with them? I mean, you know, were they from the same sort of background as yourself, or were they more...
They were from very different backgrounds. There was a public school boy there who we made a bit of fun of him because of airs and graces. But I got in with a very nice crowd. There was an Irish lad, very soft-spoken. And it's funny, when you think of young men today, we'd say, "Come on, Tom, give us a song." And he'd sing these Irish songs, and we'd sit round there almost with tears in our eyes. And there's another chappy who'd been in rep, been in acting. There's another chappy who'd been an ex-policeman. A real cross-section.
All about the same age as you?
Most of them were. There were some older because they'd been on a pilot's course in America and been thrown off it.
Now you were still at the... Although you were going as a navigator, you were still in the common part of the training, weren't you?
No, we're all navigators.
You're all navigators now?
Yes, there's a picture there of us all at ITW, with all the names underneath and the officers sitting in the front. Every morning, Torquay is surrounded by headlands. We had to run all the way up to Rock End, which is a manor house on the top of the headland, do an hour's PE and run down again. And then we had to do an hour's drill up and down the front. We got so good at drill that our squad was picked to... they used to have warship weeks and battleship weeks to raise money at various market towns around Torquay. And we used to go and do a demonstration marching, drilling for them. That made us feel quite proud, and it got us out.
Now, what was a typical day's training like as a navigation cadet or a trainee? You know, you're all going to be navigating. How would the day start? Well, you'd have a run. You've said that.
Yes. With an hour's drill, an hour's PE, and then we'd do lessons. again, it must have been in one of the other hotels. We did Met lectures, meteorology, and
now, take me through the various things you have to learn, because we're quite interested in what they are. So if we take meteorology, I have difficulty saying that, but I think what exactly were you learning?
Well, in those days, of course, the symbols on a chart, you had various symbols for rain, various symbols for hail, thunder. You had to learn all those, and we learnt about all the different clouds and the name of them, and how you got high areas of high pressure and low pressure. And if you got a frontal system, it was like a big triangle moving through the air until it met the other air, and then it either rode up or under it. And we had to recognize all the clouds as a front approach. You got the cirrus, the high cloud, and then the alto cirrus and alto stratus, and so all the way down to nimbus.
So you learnt all that. Now, what other lessons might you have? So that's meteorology. What else?
History of the RAF was very important.
Tell me about, I'm surprised at that. So, right back to the First World War?
Yes, the RFC and how it was formed, that kind of thing.
Was it done by lectures then?
Yes.
And were you interested? I mean, did you realise that was the history important to you?
Not at first, but you gradually found you were proud that you were RAF and not a Navy or Army. And that was the idea, I suppose. And that's why we marched 140 paces to the minute when we were doing our drill. The Army marched 120 paces to the minute. And so things like that.
And so that's meteorology, history, what else? I mean, navigation will be it, but I mean, navigation's a big subject. How do they split it down?
I can't remember much navigation.
Even though you were navigators?
Yes, because it's more general basic training. I think we probably got more of it when we got to the next stage at Eastbourne.
So what are the basics? Do you do any weapons training?
Yes, we...
Now, tell me about that.
We learnt to take a Vickers machine gun to pieces and assemble it again, and what the stoppages were.
Do you mean Vickers, or do you mean Lewis or Bren? Vickers is the big, heavy 300 water-cooled...
Well, it was a sort of it was a 303, so it was either Lewis or a Vickers. Long time ago.
It's all right.
long time ago.
And did you get to actually fire the rifle, the Lewis, the Bren, or
anything?
No,
not there. That came later.
Not even the rifle then.
No, we were given rifles because we had to go on guard duty. Although, I didn't do a lot of guard duty because of the name Taylor. By the time they'd got through alphabetically, we'd moved on to the next place. But I did do some guard duty when you had to stand there. Unloaded rifle. They wouldn't trust us with a loaded rifle.
What were you meant to do on guard duty then?
Challenge anybody that comes, who goes there.
Just on the front gate?
Yes.
Would you patrol round? Or was there not a perimeter? It was just hotels?
Just hotels. We're just standing outside the hotel. There was a warrant officer reputed to have been prowling round and deliberately, egging you on not to challenge him so he could get you. But it never happened to me.